your life, what's available? What does God have to work with inside of you? I went in one time when I was building houses, and we went in to do this log home restoration, and it had some major flaws. It was built with a floor plan, but no blueprint. Like, they had an idea, this is what we want. And one of the major flaws was, in the entryway, the ceiling had this big bow in it. As you were like, the first day I walked in, I'm like, that's an issue. Let's go upstairs and see what's going on. So the upstairs above that entryway, the great room, was the dining room. And in that dining room, the whole roof system pivoted on this one post in the center of the room. That one post in the center of the room went down to the flooring. Below the flooring, there was nothing, down to the concrete. It was all carrying the load of this roof system of a room that's about 25 by 45 on one post that's sitting on an inch and a half board. Yeah, kind of scary. But because it was built with a floor plan only and not also a blueprint, there were a few bloopers. And I could give you a laundry list of all the things we had to repair and fix in this place. Because if you build with logs, they grow and shrink throughout the year with the heat and the cold and the moisture. So they have to be built a little differently than a stick-built house. So anyway, we repaired it, we fixed it, it's fine. Had to put a new truss system in that would carry the weight instead of a post. But where are the saggy points of your life? Where have you built your life without a blueprint? And you have some things that are sagging or drooping or not very stable, that they could all come crashing down in a moment's notice. The good news is God calls us to repentance and reconciliation, and he's all about restoration. He says, Arby, this is not my plan for you. What are you doing? He says, come back to me. Let's get you back on the right track. Let's put in the proper support. Let's put in the proper system so that you can carry the load I've designed you to carry, so that you can do the ministry I've designed you to do, and it won't be a burden. It won't be excess for you. But if we don't start with the proper blueprint, when we start building our walls and our roofs and our upper floors, they're not supported properly, and they begin to fall apart. So that's why we started with the foundation, the stem walls, the floor. Now we're on to the blueprint. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 1 through 20 today, hopefully, or 1 through as far as we get. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, and this all falls under the title of Instructions for Christian Living. As Christians or followers of Christ, he has a blueprint for our lives of this is where your home base operations should flow out of as you're doing everyday life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Whose example do we follow? God's. God's example. What has God done from the beginning? He's loved. He's created. He's developed. He's invited us alongside of him since Adam and Eve to be part of his plan, take charge, rule over, subdue, manage, take care of. He's given us a part in his plan, in his creation. Follow God. What does God do over and over again? He keeps giving grace. He keeps extending forgiveness. He keeps extending love. He keeps trying to draw the people back to him. It's like, hey, Arby, you're getting off course again. Come back to me. Hey, Arby, come on. And he gives us these guardrails, if you will, the Ten Commandments. He gives us these guardrails to keep us near him, not to control us, but but because he wants us in his presence, and he wants to also be in our presence. Guardrails are a good thing. He's not trying to manipulate us. He's not trying to control us. But he says, hey, if you get off my path, it's a rocky road. And if you start planting seeds in your life that I've not called you to plant, they're going to reap a bitter harvest. And you're not going to enjoy the season of eating that fruit. He says, but if you'll follow my plan, follow me. I love reading through the life of Christ and how he lived and interacted with people. Why? Because he's our example. That's how I'm supposed to live my life and interact with those around me. Know that you are loved. It's the second part of that verse. How powerful that is. The devil loves to lie to you, to steal from you, to kill, steal, and destroy any thought that somebody may love you, that you're worthy, that you're of value. The devil loves to destroy that. And I don't know how many people I meet with as a pastor that say, nobody loves me, nobody cares, even God hates me. It's a nasty, nasty lie of the devil. And the second half of that verse is so powerful. My dearly loved children, you have to know that you were loved. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what circumstance or situation you're facing, if you don't get anything today, get this. The God of all creation loves you. The Lord over everything loves you. He cares for you. He gave his life for you. He thinks you are to die for. Get that out of today, if nothing else. Verse 2. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in the way of love. That's what the word calls us to do. That's what we're instructed to do, just as Christ loved us. Christ gave up everything in heaven to come to earth. He gave up his wants and wishes, his power and authority and kingdom of heaven to come to earth, to die for us, to give all for us. Love others the same way Christ loved them. I think of Christ and the day in the garden and going to the cross, and he kept saying, Father, forgive them. Even with Judas at the table, he still let Judas eat the meal with them. He knew what Judas was about to do, but Christ still loved him. Christ wasn't in charge of Judas. Judas was in charge of Judas, but Christ was in charge of his response to Judas. Don't let the betrayals of today jade your love of tomorrow, because that's a love like Christ had. He loved through betrayal. He loved through rejection. He loved through abuse. He loved through torment and torture. He loved through mockery. He loved unto death. That's the love we are called to love with. This kind of love is pleasing to God. It's a sacrificial love. It doesn't say, I'm going to love you because you make me happy, or I love you because you bring me a 10 a.m. coffee and donut, or you make me ribeye steak for dinner. It says, I'm going to love you no matter how you treat me, because my call as a believer in Christ Jesus is first to love, because he first loved me. Even when I was a sinner, he loved me. Even when I was an enemy to the kingdom of heaven, he loved me. That's the kind of love you and I are called to follow God's example in. Verse 3 and 4. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. There's no place in your blueprint for these kinds of evil, these kinds of debauchery. They should not be anywhere in your blueprint. It's like supporting your whole roof system on a single post with nothing below it. It might hold up and look good for a while, but eventually it's going to crash and create disaster. And when the storms of life hit, it will not stand. Rather than this, fill your blueprint with thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. Verse number 5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What do you want your future to look like? Do you want it to look like hell? Fire, weeping, gnashing of teeth, pain that never ceases. That sounds awful. Or do you want it to be like heaven, where the word tells us there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more weeping, but there's rejoicing and shouting and praise. And then it gives some physical descriptions of heaven as well. But the word of God's pretty clear on which groups of people get to go to heaven and which don't. Those who choose God and those who don't. And some will even say they love God, but their actions don't prove it. Their lifestyles don't prove it. It's much more than just speaking, I believe in God, because Satan believes in God. He knows he's real. He believes in Jesus. He knows he's real. But hell was created for Satan and his fallen angels, not for humanity. But some will not make the choice. What kind of future do you want? Eternal future, that is. We get to decide. One of the most amazing and worst things God ever did to us, in my opinion. He gives us free will. We get to choose. How am I going to live my life? What blueprint will I lay out for my life? Will it honor and glorify God and scream Hosanna? Or will it be filled with things that Arby wants to do that are evil and wicked? You and I get to choose. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. How often the word tells us don't be deceived. Don't fall into temptation. Don't be lured. Don't be trapped. Don't be ensnared. Over and over again. Why? Because there is an enemy of our soul. His name is Satan, or Lucifer, or the devil, whatever colorful word you want to put on him. He is actively pursuing to steal, kill, and destroy you. And maybe not physically, but it could be emotionally, mentally, spiritually, intellectually. It may just be your ministry. It may be your reputation. It may be your character witness. It may be just building the next generation. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy that. Don't be deceived. Don't be led astray. Most of all, don't be disobedient. God's pretty clear in his word what to obey, what not to obey. Obey him and him only. Don't obey false gods. Don't obey the devil. Don't obey your own heart or its desires. But obey the Lord God Almighty first and foremost. This has to be in the blueprint of our lives. If we don't obey, the wrath of God comes upon us. Anybody want the wrath of God? I've been reading through the Old Testament and some of those portions in there. And again, they disobeyed and the wrath of God came upon them. And it's like, when are you people going to learn? Like he sends venomous snakes into the camp and thousands of people die. And the earth opens up and thousands of people die. And And they keep falling back into sin. And I don't think we're any better than those people. I think we're just as apt to be given to temptation or deception and fall away. But we have to be on guard, and we have to build a life that our blueprint says, obey God first. Honor God first. Give all glory and praise to God first. And our blueprint has got to be from that point of obedience, of like Jesus in the garden, not my will, but yours. God, what do you want me to do? Not what do I want to do? What do you want me to do that will bring you glory and honor? Verse 7. Therefore, do not be partners with them. It's talking about all the evildoers, the idolaters. Who are you partnering with life? Who do you allow to partner with you in life? I'm kind of picky. I'm a little bit picky. It's like, yeah, I can't partner with that. I can't ride that wagon. Yeah, this isn't pleasing to God. This isn't honoring God. I don't agree with how you're doing things, how you're living your life. I can't partner with you in that. But then there's some people I can partner with. So yeah, that honors and glorifies God. That pleases God. I can partner with that. Pick your partners carefully. Partners in business, partners in recreation, partners in ministry, partners in society, pick them carefully. You should have circles of influence in your life that a really tight-knit group like Jesus and his three, and then Jesus and his 12, and Jesus and his 120, and Jesus and the multitudes, and then Jesus and all the non-believers. It should look like a bullseye in your life of who you let into what area of your life. You should have good, firm boundaries of who gets access to different points of your life or your family and their lives. Be careful who you partner with. Verses 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We're supposed to be children of light, or Christ-likeness. That brings light into the dark areas of life around us, into dark, hopeless situations of people around us. Have you ever showed up and been the only one with the flashlight and it's dark out? You get a lot of friends real quick. We live in a dark and hopeless world. At least I know a lot of hopeless people. I hope you're getting out there knowing them also and shining a little bit of light into their situations. Saying, no, this isn't the end. There's still hope. There's still a God who loves you. There's still eternity to look forward to. This life is really horrible right now. I understand that. I've had to deal with several of these situations this past week. People who are passing from this life to next. Trying to talk with families that are, it's hopeless, they're dying. It's over, they're gone. It's like, no, it's not over. It is for this life. But there's still eternity. There's still hope to reunite if we choose Christ as our Lord and Savior. Those are hard situations. Even harder if they don't accept Christ. then it's real hopelessness. Walk in the light. Walk in God's goodness. Walk in God's righteousness. Walk in God's truth. That's being the light. Speaking the truth in love. Just because you know the truth doesn't mean it's the right time to speak it. Anybody know that? A couple people, good. We got to teach the rest of you. Just because you know the truth doesn't mean you should speak it. It might not be the right moment to release it. The right word spoken in the right moment is beautiful. There's a verse about that. But the right word spoken in the wrong moment is destructive and dangerous and painful. Guard your words well. We're supposed to be children of light, shining the hope, righteousness, and truth of God into lives, into hearts, into minds. Find out what pleases God. You know, there are many passages in the Word of God that says, do this, it pleases God. Like, we have an owner's manual how to please God. We can start by living righteously, living obediently, living a life of love. Those are three good starting points. Live a life that has no darkness in it. Live a life that has no darkness in it. Verse 15 and 16. Be very careful then how you will live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. There's that word again, be careful, or that call, be careful. Constantly in Scripture, we are being reminded to be careful. Be careful, be careful. Why do we need to be careful? Because there's an enemy, and he's seeking whom he may devour. Be careful and be wise. I spent a lot of my adult life in the backcountry doing dangerous things. You constantly have to be careful because it's hours back to a trailhead. It's hours to any sort of medical help. You constantly have to be careful and be wise. And those who aren't usually don't last very long in an occupation in the backcountry. They wash out pretty quickly. And there's probably at least a million ways you can get hurt out there. Things can go wrong that are out of your control. But there's a lot that is in your control that you can act wisely upon, that you can be careful about. Same in our lives. There are many things we can be careful about, we can be wise about, but are we? You just ramble through life and God will pick up the pieces behind me. Are you careful about how you travel? Through life, that is, not just Highway 12. You should be very careful there too. But the Word of God calls us to be careful and wise. Those should be in our blueprint of our life. Make the most of every situation. Make the most. Take advantage of the situations or the opportunities God offers you. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. There's a second call to understand what pleases the Lord or what His will is. That's our responsibility to figure out. not someone else's, but we are responsible to find out what God's will is. And there's, I would call it the generic will of God that is for all believers in Christ Jesus, the body of Christ. And then there's also like the individual bodies of believers that have a will or something God is asking them to do. As here at the Life Center, we're part of the greater body of Christ, but God has some specific mandates for us. And then there's also me personally, or you personally, that God says, this is my will for you. And you're the only Arby that can do this. I don't have another one. Or you're the only, put your name in there. You're the only individual that can do what I've called you to do. And we each have to fulfill the will of God according to our own calling and purpose. So do not be foolish and understand God's will in your life. Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery or all kinds of evil. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. A couple more instructions for us. In the blueprint of your house, there is no room for drunkenness. Be not drunk with wine. And the word instructs us of that over and over again. Even talks about drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Talks about drunkenness being a sin unto the Lord. But instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been drunk both ways. The Holy Spirit's way better. I used to walk a life that was unpleasing to God, that led me into all kinds of debauchery. But thank God that he pursued me. He loved me so much that he's the God of second chances. Said, Arby, you're outside the guardrails. Come back. Come back. I said, okay, Lord. I gave him my yes. And I've continued giving him my yes for the last 20 some odd years. And it's way better. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is way better. Walking in his power and authority and his love and his grace. And yes, I even experienced drunkenness in the Spirit once, which was wild. I was at a youth camp and I was the counselor. And they're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, Holy Spirit got a hold of me. It's something else. It's only happened to me once. I know people it's happened to many times, but me once, and it was quite a wild ride with the Lord for the night. But there was no hangover in the morning, unless you want to call love, joy, and peace a hangover. And if it is, I'll take it every time. Just the infilling of the Spirit that was, I can't even explain how joyous it was. But it was a Holy Spirit intoxication and was fantastic. Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. In the blueprint of our lives, we need to have space to lift up and edify, to encourage those around us, to tell others of the goodness of God in our lives, to tell others what he has done. That's what this verse is talking about. Bringing praise and worship as an outflow from our blueprint. This should flow out of every corner of our lives. And why? To praise the Lord, to give honor and praise to the Lord. If your windows are down, it's really raining, you might want to... I love hearing the rain on a metal roof. Praise the Lord. That should be part of the blueprint of our life. Giving praise to God in all that we do. I had this cool experience last fall. I was hunting in the Salmon River Mountains with a buddy of mine from Florida. And I had found this mule deer buck that I wanted to climb up the hill and go harvest. And so we snuck up there and I set my phone up to video the shot and everything and got ready to, yes, Lord, we hear you. Can we get the worship team up here to sing Let It Rain? This feels fitting. Anyway, I'm set up. I got my phone. I hit record on the video and I'm set up and getting ready to take the shot. And I take the shot and the deer drops and everything went well. But later, as I'm reviewing the video, like I hear me say something right after I shoot. I'm like, what am I saying there? So I crank the volume up and listen to it. I said, son of a... No, I didn't say that. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Like, I didn't even know I did that. Like, but in the moment, it was just an outflow of what I believe or of the blueprint of my life. And that's how it should be for us. It should, in every moment, in every situation, it should be an outflow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the rain today. It's going to knock the allergens down and I'll be able to breathe a little better tomorrow. But it should be an outflow that we're not even conscious of. It should just be oozing out of us. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to God. He is worthy of my very best in everything I do. And it should get to a point where it's not a conscious thought, but it's just how we operate. It's natural and normal. And unless we had a video rolling, we wouldn't even know we did it. Give thanks to the Lord in all you do. Build, encourage, edify one another in the Lord. Sing of his goodness. Give thanks to him. And verse 20, our final verse for today. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm still trying to get to that point. To give thanks to God for everything. Because there's some days things don't go Arby's way. And I'm like, why? And then as you get through the process, God had a plan all along. I just quit believing or quit having faith that his plan was better than mine. So I got angry or disappointed or felt rejected or felt whatever. Put your term in there. Instead of trusting in God and giving him thanks for God, I don't understand what's going on right now. It looks like a mess, but I trust your plan. And our trust in him and his plan has got to be in the blueprint, the fabric of our lives, in every room, in every wall, in every detail. As God, I don't know what you're up to, but I know you're good. I know you're just. I know you're loving. I know you're kind. I know you're faithful. I know I don't see it right now, but you do. And you have good things in store for me. And we put our faith and our belief and our trust in him in that moment and say, this is the blueprint of my life. And I don't have to know everything. I don't have to see everything. But I'm going to walk through and let my faith carry me through what I don't know to get to what you do know. And then I'm going to give you even more praise and more honor and more glory. So give thanks for everything and do it in the name of Jesus. Do it in the name of Jesus. CV Rams hat or that CV Rams jersey, you're not just representing yourself, but you're representing a team, your coaches, your teachers, your school, your community. So thank before you speak. Thank before you act. Thank before you react. And I would tell us that same thing. Although, like, as long as you're breathing air and serving Jesus, you're on his team. So as we go out into our lives this week, let the world see how great Jesus is in you. Let the world see his light shining through you. Because he is worthy of our very best. He is worthy of our praise, our honor, our glory. He's worthy of our sacrifice. Even when we have to submit our will to his, he is so worthy. Just like they shouted that day as he rode into Jerusalem, Hosanna, praise be to God. Hosanna, praise be to God. That's what they were saying as he came in that day. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you are so, God, near us. God, you are so personal. God, that if we'll invite you in, God, you will give us guidance and counsel at every turn of life. God, your love, your comfort, your peace, God, your joy can be upon us. God, as we yield our lives to you. God, show us the error of our way, God, where we walk in, God, ways that are not pleasing to you, God, ways of, Father, idolatry or wickedness, God, of deceit and evil. God, show us those areas of our lives that we may repent and turn toward you. God, that your love, God, your compassion, God, your kindness, God, your grace and mercy may flow out of us to those around us. God, that you would receive all glory and honor. God, as we build the blueprint of our lives according to your word, God, according to your truths, God, that we would go forth, God, bringing you much glory and honor, God, in the words we speak, in the ways we act, in the deeds we do. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, God, to be a part of your plan in this great earth. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.